You've got some breaking news about Brian Steeler.
It's not all complete and clear at this point, but Brian and his wife Hillary will be moving, and they found a wonderful house that they like, and unfortunately, it's just outside the town limits by just 100 yards or so, which means that Brian will have to step down as a member of the Highlands Board of Commissioners because you have to live within the city limits. I hate that that's going to happen. He's been a wonderful commissioner and has served this community for so many years. I've talked with Brian. He will continue to see the completion of that wonderful playground that's underway. We've almost completed the fundraising of that, just about $100,000 short, but there's some people that are already beginning to step forward to put us over the top. Brian will continue to be involved in that until it's complete. He will also be involved in the Highlands Scholarship Golf Tournament. Brian's a public servant. I anticipate him to continue to do that. The big question that we'll have to resolve, and I'll be getting the information out as soon as we have a clear pathway, and that is how to fulfill the remaining part of his term. He was in the middle of his four-year term, and we are talking with our town attorney, the Board of Elections, and other folks about how to proceed in filling that open position. So I'll keep people posted as soon as we have some definite information.
And of course, he continues his job at the Highlands Country Club, where he is an outstanding supervisor
Absolutely.
Of that country club. At the Weekender section, front page, gathering for the Peace Bowl, and may peace prevail.
In four different languages. I had the honor of speaking at the dedication. Both Rotary Clubs of Highlands were sponsors and created the Peace Bowl. That is a Rotary initiative, and they're putting them all over the world. Our two Rotary Clubs, the Evening Club and the Noonday Club, they both meet at the community center. As a Rotarian, I'm amazed at how the two clubs work together on special projects, and that was the case with the Peace Bowl. And it was just a wonderful day. We had the district governor of Rotary attending, as well as some past governors of Rotary. And it was a great ceremony. I had a chance to speak. What I emphasized was that this is a plateau, a land that has been shared by diverse cultures, and that is reflective of the Peace Bowl. You have May Peace Prevail Throughout the World in English, Cherokee, Spanish, and Gaelic. At the ceremony, we had folks from those different languages come up and speak the words of peace in their native language. So that was just so special. I emphasize we have come as a community to learn to honor and work with and cooperate with different cultures that have been a part of this plateau. And this is the spirit of peace that I think this Peace Bowl captures, and Rotary International has tried to spread that throughout the world. And let me just say this without sounding like I'm preaching. Rotary International and the Rotary Clubs, they are committed to peace, to building communities, to helping people flourish as human beings. And that's why I'm a Rotarian. The point was made, it's easy to conduct war against some other people. It's hard to work together and to build communities in places where people can live and thrive. And that's the spirit of this whole program with the Peace Bowls and what Rotary is all about.
I wish I was there to hear the children. I'm reading this. The children were singing It's a Small World against the backdrop of the hundreds of colorful pinwheels there.
And they were passing those out to everyone. And that was really special because they were just so excited being there. You could see it in their eyes when those little kids would come up and give you a pinwheel of peace. It was just wonderful.
Last week, you went out to Robbinsville for the Southwestern Regional Planning Commission and some global purchase of some land there.
I was representing the commission along with my other colleagues. I'm on the executive board. The commission, along with so many agencies and state agencies and communities, try to promote economic development in the seven county areas of Western Carolina. So we were all there for a special announcement that there's a Chinese company that has purchased the old Stanley Manufacturing Building that had been closed for well over a decade because Stanley left Western Carolina. A lot of people in Robbinsville and Graham County lost jobs where they'd been working there for many years. It was really sad. Sally and I were riding through Western Carolina in June and passed the Stanley plant, and I said, sad to see that beautiful building just standing there vacant. Well, there's a Chinese company that is now going to invest about, I think, $21 million in refurbishing the plant. They're going to hire eventually 500 people, and they will produce 75,000 tons of foodware for companies like Chick-fil-A. And the wonderful thing about what they do, they take wood pulp and they make this ware to be biodegradable. It's not plastic. Somebody, I was talking about this, they said, well, that's just plastic. I said, no, this isn't plastic. This is a different system that allows all of that material to eventually break down in something that can be, you know, taken back into the natural environment. So I just thought it was a wonderful day. My colleagues in Graham County and Robbinsville and throughout the whole region were just on cloud nine. And I would emphasize this. Yes, Western Carolina is a tourist industry. We have so many visitors that we depend on, and that's good. But we also need to diversify our economy by having these kind of jobs like manufacturing and production. That is important, and those salaries are good salaries. It has a multiplier effect. If you have a factory like that and workers there, then you have to have other things like restaurants, things that they'll want to buy and so forth. So it's just an overall boost for the whole economy of Western Carolina.
Talking about a boost, there is an alcohol referendum that you brought up before we started recording. Talk about that.
Yes, the Macon County Commission has voted to put that on the ballot as a referendum. Right now, Franklin and Highlands, the two towns, we're wet. In other words, we have ABC stores. Our restaurants and so forth can serve alcoholic beverages. But outside of those town limits, Macon County is dry. And the point has been made that, like, for example, on the 441 corridor, more restaurants and things would open up, especially with the corridor and the traffic going to Cherokee. If they had the option of serving alcoholic beverages at those restaurants, those companies would be willing to invest and open up in Macon County. My position on this, I support the initiative. We're one of the few counties in Western Carolina now that remain dry. For example, a few years ago, Jackson County voted to go wet. So I hope that that will be approved by the voters, but that will be left up to the decision by the voting public.
If you serve alcohol, they will come.
That might be tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. It is true, Steve. Yes, it is true.
The fire department, open house, we're getting ready for that.
Yes, that will have occurred on Saturday, and we're recording this, and it'll be broadcast on Sunday. But it's always a wonderful event, especially in this new facility. I anticipate a lot of parents with young children being there, kind of like on the 4th of July, because kids just love a shiny new firehouse and all the trucks and the firemen. So I hope everybody will have had a good time. I know I have a good time every time I attend that open house event.
This is a new look I have in my mind about you. I have a look of you traveling around the town and taking a look at what's going on. But now I have this new vision of you, and you talked about it. You were on your boat on the Lake Sequoia.
I was. I would like to see the access to Lake Sequoia to be developed. Yes, I took my boat there on Sunday afternoon, and I pulled into the boat ramp, and there were two cars there from Georgia, and lo and behold, I was getting ready to launch. There were two families, parents and kids. They were in canoes, kayaks, and I think one kid was on one of those sailboards. They were having such a good time. They pulled in. Kids were still there splashing in the water, and the parents were getting everything loaded up on the boats. But it was great, and I got a chance to use my boat. I have a little 2.5 gasoline eco-friendly motor that I have on my boat. So if you see me riding around Lake Sequoia, that is the case. I use a gasoline motor.
Doing the speed limit.
Well, here's what I'd say. I have the permit that's required by the town of Highlands. You get it at the police department, $10 a year. Of course, I have to have my boat registered with North Carolina. And yes, I follow the speed limit. Some people say, oh, you can only use electric motors on Lake Sequoia. That's not true. I've passed a guy in a pontoon boat, and he had a small gasoline motor propelling it. He was following the speed limit, too. The speed limit is 5 miles an hour. So with my little motor, I turned the throttle wide open, and then I took out my cell phone where I have the speedometer app, and I brought the app up, and it gave me a printout of how fast I was going. I was going wide open, and I would hit 5 miles an hour. Sometimes with a little wind, it would almost get to six, but basically I was running at 5 miles an hour with no weight. But I love being on the water, and Lake Sequoia is a beautiful lake. Took a little time to fish, caught a few little fish. It's very difficult to catch fish this time of year with the heat, but that was a great way to get away from things and enjoy the beauty of Highlands. I will say one thing, though. I've noticed that sometimes after these big rains, we have a little cloudiness in Lake Sequoia. Some of our creeks, like Mill Creek, you'll notice that there's some cloudiness, and it occurs after these heavy, fast and sudden rains. I was so concerned about it in the middle of the week on my afternoon running and training regimen. I started running over to the different creeks. Some of them were clear. Some of them were getting some wash off, but I couldn't determine any one area like a building site that was creating a problem. I even talked to Bobby Henry, who's our code enforcement person, and he said he too had been monitoring that, and it wasn't any one site or area, but because we've had these heavy rains, you just get a lot of wash off naturally here. I want to add one other thing and emphasize this. Mirror Lake, where we're dredging, you see that same kind of thing happening. And I'll just say, some people would think, oh, because they're building in Riverwalk, that's happening. We've looked at what's being built. It's just a couple of houses. They have the double silt fences. That's not the problem, but there is a problem. In Macon County, outside of the town, there has been some construction near or next to the Culisaja River, near the country club, and the proper silt fencing has not been installed. Now, we can't go out there and enforce it because it's outside the town limits. We have reported it to the county, and hopefully the county will take action to make anybody that's not putting up the proper silt fences to comply with the state law on that.
And once again, thanks to the Rotarians unveiling that peace pole in Highlands Bay, peace prevail.
And one parting thought. What I love about that peace pole, and I don't know how Randy Foster, who was kind of managing the construction of it, and he's the president of the Rotary Club, how they pulled this off, but that is a solid piece of locust, a native wood to this area. They were able to get those inscriptions on it. That was just a major feat to find a big enough piece of locust to create that structure, which will serve the community in years to come.